COVID response at 5 years. Voting. By Brownstone Institute at brownstone.org. In 1845, Congress established Election Day as the Tuesday after the first Monday of November in order to establish a uniform time for Americans to cast their ballots for president. Historically, voters needed to provide a valid reason, such as illness or military service, to qualify for absentee ballots. But COVID served as a pretext to overturn that tradition, as the political actors used the guise of public health to amass political power in March 2020. The looming presidential election was the zenith of their aspirations. Just 25% of votes in 2020 occurred at the polls on Election Day. Mail-in voting more than doubled. Key swing states eliminated the need to provide a valid reason to cast absentee ballots. The virus and racial justice became justifications to disregard verification methods like signature requirements. Rejection rates for absentee ballots plummeted by more than 80% in some states as the COVID regime welcomed an unprecedented increase in mail-in voting. Politicians and media outlets ignored rampant voter fraud in the months leading up to the election. They treated concerns surrounding absentee voting as obscure conspiracy theories, despite a bipartisan commission describing it as the largest source of potential voter fraud just a decade earlier. It is now clear that the overhaul of our election system was a deliberate initiative from the outset of the pandemic response. In March 2020, when the government's official policy was still 2 weeks to flatten the curve, the administrative state began instituting the infrastructure to hijack the November presidential election, more than 30 weeks beyond when the COVID response was supposed to end. March 2020. The CDC and the CARES Act meddle in the election. On March 12, 2020, the CDC issued a recommendation for states and localities to encourage voters to use voting methods that minimize direct contact with other people, including mail-in methods of voting. 2 weeks later, President Trump signed the $2 trillion CARES Act, which offered states $400 million to re-engineer their election processes for that November. At the time, proponents of the CARES Act argued it was necessary to reopen the country. The New York Times editorialized that it was critical to fund and implement the safety measures necessary to let Americans get back to work, school, and play without a recurrence of the virus. But political actors immediately plotted ways to use the funds to entrench their power long past the proposed 2-week lockdowns. Nearly every swing state announced plans to promote mail-in voting and reduce electoral safeguards in a congressional report. Michigan will use the funds to bolster vote by mail, the report announced. Governor Gretchen Whitmer received $11.3 million from the CARES Act to change election procedures in her state. In November, 57% of Michigan voters, over 3 million people, cast their ballot by mail. For the first time, the state did not require a reason for absentee voting, and mail-in ballots more than doubled. President Trump would go on to lose Michigan by just 150,000 votes. When Trump signed the CARES Act, just 0.05% of Michigan residents had tested positive for COVID. The state's political leaders later boasted that their agenda had not been focused on public health. Even when there's not a pandemic, once people begin using the absentee ballot process, they're much more likely to continue to do so in the future, said Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson after Election Day. Pennsylvania received $14.2 million from the CARES Act to address its election process. At the time, the infection rate in the Keystone State was 1 in 6,000, 0.017%. Democratic Governor Tom Wolf's administration told the federal government it would use its plans to increase absentee voting. In November, 2.5 million Pennsylvanians voted by mail. President Biden won 75% of those votes, a difference of 1.4 million. President Trump lost the state by under 100,000 votes. The CARES Act provided Wisconsin with over $7 million for election matters. Democratic Governor Tom Evers said the state would use funds to provide absentee ballot envelopes, to develop the statewide voter registration system and online absentee ballot request portal, and to account for additional costs related to mail-in voting. Governor Evers explained, "Having as many absentee ballots as possible is absolutely a top priority, and always has been given the emergency we're in." 8 months later, 1.9 million of the state's 3.3 million voters cast their ballot by mail. The rejection rate for absentee ballots plummeted from 1.4% in 2016 to 0.2%. President Biden won Wisconsin by just 20,000 votes. Democratic activists were unsatisfied with the $400 million added to the national debt to reshape the elections. Mark Zuckerberg's foundation provided absentee activists with an additional $300 million. In time, Molly Ball celebrated the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. She quoted Amber McReynolds, the president of Nonpartisan National Vote at Home Institute, who called the government's reluctance to provide additional funding a failure at the federal level. Despite her professed nonpartisanship, President Biden rewarded her service by appointing her to the board of the U.S. Postal Service. In time, Ball hailed the mail-in activists' efforts, which included targeting black voters, who may have otherwise preferred to exercise their franchise in person. They focused on social media outreach to try to convince people that a prolonged vote count wasn't a sign of problems. Their informational warfare may have changed Americans' perception on mail-in voting, but it could not eradicate the predictable controversies that it created. Spring 2020. Voter fraud skyrockets. In May 2020, New Jersey held municipal elections and required all voting take place via mail. The state's third-largest city, Paterson, held its election for city council. The results should have been a national scandal that ended the push for mail-in voting. Shortly after the election, the Postal Service discovered hundreds of mail-in ballots in one town mailbox. A Snapchat video showed a man named Abu Razian illegally handling a stack of ballots he said was for candidate Shannon Kalik. Kalik initially defeated his opponent by just 8 votes. A recount found their vote was tied. Paterson resident Ramona Javier never received her mail-in ballot for the election. Neither did 8 of her family members and neighbors, yet they were all listed as having voted. "We did not receive vote-by-mail ballots and thus we did not vote," she told the press. "This is corruption. This is fraud." Election officials rejected 19% of the ballots from Paterson, a city with over 150,000 residents. While Paterson's election was particularly troublesome, mail-in ballots were problematic across the state. 30 other New Jersey municipalities held vote-by-mail elections that day, and the average disqualification rate was 9.6%. New Jersey brought voting fraud charges against City Councilman Michael Jackson, Councilman-elect Alex Mendez, and 2 other men for their criminal conduct involving mail-in ballots during the election. All 4 were charged with illegally collecting, procuring, and submitting mail-in ballots. A state judge later ordered a new vote, finding that the May election was not the fair, free, and full expression of the intent of the voters. It was rife with mail-in vote procedural violations constituting nonfeasance and malfeasance. Politicians refused to concede that the incident revealed the vulnerability of absentee balloting. Instead, Governor Phil Murphy told the press that the scandal was a good sign. "I view that as a positive data point," he argued. "Some guys tried to screw around with the system. They got caught by law enforcement. They've been indicted. They'll pay a price." Murphy and other allies of Joe Biden ignored the threat, presuming the forces would not hurt their hopes that November. In Wisconsin, the April 2020 primary election offered further evidence of the challenges and corruption surrounding mail-in voting. Following the primary, a postal center outside Milwaukee discovered 3 tubs of absentee ballots that never reached their intended recipients. Fox Point, a village outside Milwaukee, has a population of under 7,000 people. Beginning in March, Fox Point received between 20 and 50 undelivered absentee ballots per day. In the weeks leading up to the election, the village manager said that increased to between 100 and 150 ballots per day. On election day, the town received a plastic mail bin with 175 unmailed ballots. "We're not sure why this happened," said the village manager. "Nobody seems to be able to tell me why." Democrats admitted the system threatened election integrity. "This has all the makings of a Florida 2000 if we have a close race," said Gordon Hintz, the Democratic minority leader in the Wisconsin State Assembly. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo went further. "It's a harder system to administer, and obviously it's a harder system to police writ large," he said. Cuomo continued, "People showing up, people actually showing ID, is still the easiest system to assure total integrity." The Wisconsin primary also featured special elections for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. A liberal judge upset the incumbent conservative justice, and partisans embraced their overhaul of the electoral system. The New York Times reported, Wisconsin Democrats are working to export their template for success, intense digital outreach and a well-coordinated vote-by-mail operation, to other states in the hope that it will improve the party's chances in local and statewide elections and in the quest to unseat President Trump in November. Despite the corruption, the lost ballots, and the admissions of threats to electoral integrity, the process had been a success in political terms. Their candidate had won. The ends had justified the means. Citizens lost faith in their election process, and political leaders readily admitted that their concerns were justified. But the professional politicos and their mouthpiece, the New York Times, characterized the disaster as a template for success. Controversies continued to emerge surrounding mail-in ballots. In September 2020, a government contractor threw Trump mail-in ballots in the trash in Pennsylvania. ABC News reported that ballots had been found in a dumpster next to the elections building. A week later, trays of absentee ballots were found in a ditch in Wisconsin. In Nevada, the Reno Sparks Indian Colony offered gifts, including gift cards, jewelry, and clothing to Native Americans who showed up to vote. Activist Bethany Sam organized the event, where she donned a Biden-Harris mask and stood in front of the Biden-Harris campaign bus. Voters in California received ballots with no place to vote for president. Over 20% of ballots mailed to voters in Teaneck, New Jersey, had the wrong congressional districts listed, and Franklin County, Ohio reported sending over 100,000 absentee ballots to the wrong address due to an envelope stuffing error. In October, Texas police arrested Carrollton mayoral candidate Zul Mirza Muhammad on 109 counts of fraud for forging mail-in ballots. Authorities discovered fraudulent ballots at Muhammad's residence with fictitious licenses. That same month, a Pennsylvania district attorney charged Lehigh County Elections Judge Everett Erica Bickford with prying into ballots and altering the entries from a local election that June. That election was decided by just 55 votes. Reports continued to emerge after the election. The New York Post uncovered election records that showed dead people had cast absentee ballots that November. California law enforcement charged two men with a 41-count criminal complaint for allegedly submitting over 8,000 fraudulent voter registration applications on behalf of homeless people. Their goal was to get Carlos Montenegro, one of the defendants, elected mayor of Hawthorne, a city in Los Angeles County. The state also alleged that Montenegro committed perjury by falsifying names and signatures in his paperwork for his mayoral campaign. In 2022, a Georgia investigation found more than 1,000 absentee ballots that never left the Cobb County government facility. 2 months earlier, mail-in ballots from the 2020 election were discovered in a Baltimore USPS facility. In 2023, Michigan police found hundreds of mail-in ballots from the 2020 election in a township clerk's storage unit. All of this was entirely predictable, but perhaps that was the point. From the outset, the COVID regime sought to abolish the safeguards of our election system despite well-known concerns regarding election integrity. The United States of amnesia, voter fraud was nothing new. Absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. The COVID regime's messaging was clear. Only conspiratorial lunatics would question the integrity of an election system that more than doubles its mail-in voting. FBI Director Christopher Wray testified, "We have not seen, historically, any kind of coordinated national voter fraud effort in a major election, whether it's by mail or otherwise." But this wasn't true. Wray's lie contradicted long-standing conclusions regarding electoral integrity. Just as the public health apparatus abandoned thousands of years of epidemiological practice to implement lockdowns, the media and elected officials abandoned principles that, until that moment, had been common sense. Following the controversy of the 2000 Bush-Gore presidential election, the United States formed a bipartisan commission on federal election reform. President Jimmy Carter, a Democrat, and former Secretary of State James Baker, a Republican, chaired the group. After 5 years of research, the group published its final report, Building Confidence in U.S. Elections. It offered a series of recommendations to reduce voter fraud, including enacting voter ID laws and limiting absentee voting. The commission was unequivocal. Absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. The report continued, citizens who vote at home, at nursing homes, at the workplace, or in church are more susceptible to pressure, overt and subtle, or to intimidation. Vote-buying schemes are far more difficult to detect when citizens vote by mail. The findings were reinforced by subsequent election scandals. A 2012 New York Times headline read, "Error and Fraud at Issue as Absentee Voting Rises." The article made the front page of the paper and echoed the concerns of the Carter-Baker Commission. Fraud easier via mail, the paper explained. You could steal some absentee ballots or stuff a ballot box or bribe an election administrator or fiddle with an electronic voting machine, said Yale law professor Heather Gerken. That explains, she said, why all the evidence of stolen elections involves absentee ballots and the like. The Times continued the potential corruption of mail-in ballots. On the most basic level, absentee voting replaces the oversight that exists at polling places with something akin to an honor system, the author wrote. The Times then cited U.S. Circuit Court Judge Richard A. Posner. Absentee voting is to voting in person as a take-home exam is to a proctored one. The report went on. Voters in nursing homes can be subjected to subtle pressure, outright intimidation, or fraud. The secrecy of their voting is easily compromised, and their ballots can be intercepted both coming and going. Historical controversies supported this consensus. The 1997 Miami mayoral election resulted in 36 arrests for absentee ballot fraud. A judge voided the results and ordered the city to hold a new election due to a pattern of fraudulent, intentional, and criminal conduct. The results were reversed in the subsequent election. Following Dallas's 2017 city council race, authorities sequestered 700 mail-in ballots signed Jose Rodriguez. Elderly voters alleged that party activists had forged their signatures on their mail-in ballots. Miguel Hernandez later pled guilty to the crime of forging their signatures after collecting unfilled ballots and using them to support his candidate of choice. In 2018, the Democratic National Commission challenged an Arizona law that set safeguards around absentee voting, including limiting who could handle mail-in ballots. U.S. District Judge Douglas L. Reyes, an Obama appointee, upheld the law. Indeed, mail-in ballots by their very nature are less secure than ballots cast in person at polling locations, he wrote. He found that the prevention of voter fraud and preservation of public confidence in election integrity were important state interests and cited the Carter-Baker Commission's finding that absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. The rest of the world recognizes the obvious threat that mail-in voting poses to election integrity. In 1975, France banned postal ballots after rampant voter fraud. Ballots were cast with the names of dead Frenchmen, and political activists in Corsica stole ballots and bribed voters. In 1991, Mexico mandated voter photo IDs and banned absentee ballots after the Institutional Revolutionary Party repeatedly committed fraud to maintain power. In Austria, Belgium, Canada, Chile, Denmark, Estonia, Ireland, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Poland, Portugal, Slovenia, Spain, Turkey, and the United Kingdom, photo ID is required to get an absentee ballot. In August 2020, economist John Lott analyzed how COVID was being used as a pretext to overhaul electoral standards in the United States. He wrote, 37 states have so far changed their mail-in voting procedures this year in response to the coronavirus. Despite frequent claims that President Trump's warning about vote fraud, voting buying with mail-in ballots is baselessly or without evidence about mail-in vote fraud, there are numerous examples of vote fraud and vote buying with mail-in ballots in the United States and across the world. Indeed, concerns over vote fraud and vote buying with mail-in ballots causes sick the vast majority of countries to ban mail-in voting unless the citizen is living abroad. There are fraud problems with mail-in absentee ballots, but the problems with universal mail-in ballots are much more significant. Still, most countries ban even absentee ballots for people living in their countries. Most developed countries ban absentee ballots unless the citizen is living abroad or require photo IDs to obtain those ballots. Even higher percentages of European Union or other European countries ban absentee for in-country voters. Political actors treated opposition to absentee balloting with scorn while ignoring its history of corruption. Mail-in voting may have been the decisive factor in the 2020 election, but Trump and his allies searched for other explanations to avoid his complicity in signing the CARES Act. The Trump campaign promised to produce irrefutable evidence that would prove Trump won the election in a landslide. "I'm going to release the Kraken," one Trump election lawyer told Lou Dobbs in November 2020. President Trump and Rudy Giuliani tweeted blame at Dominion voting machines. Sean Hannity said privately that Giuliani was acting like an insane person. 2 days later, Hannity told viewers about a software error from Dominion that wrongfully awarded Joe Biden thousands of ballots that were cast for President Trump until the problem was amazingly fixed. In August 2023, Trump announced that he would release an irrefutable report demonstrating voter fraud in Georgia. He canceled the announcement 2 days later. In the process, they ignored a far more obvious explanation. The first six presidential elections of the 21st century were decided by an average of 44 electoral votes. Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin offer a combined 62 votes in the Electoral College. Following the 2020 overhaul of our election system, California, New York, Pennsylvania, and Nevada allowed voting in person without any form of identification. Michigan allowed voting without photo identification. Under the pretext of COVID and racial justice, states abolished their electoral safeguards. They turned Election Day into a month of voting. After prominent Democrats refused to certify the 2000, 2004, and 2016 elections, the victors chastised any concerns for electoral integrity as a tax on democracy. In Tablet magazine, Armin Rosen explained that two forces catalyzed the stealth revolution that activists launched to abolish electoral safeguards under the pretext of COVID. The first was the Democratic Party's decision to treat Donald Trump not as a despicable outcome of the country's normal democratic process but as a dictator in waiting who had stolen the presidency with help from the Kremlin and now wanted to end democracy. This emergency was in turn used to justify any number of extra-democratic theories and measures, from the promulgation of hallucinatory conspiracies with the help of law enforcement and the intelligence community, to overt attempts to control and censor the news, on the grounds that such excesses were needed to save democracy from itself. Second, COVID created a situation in which exceptions to existing laws seemed normal and natural enough that a large part of the population welcomed them, or at least treated them as the one-time cost of holding a national election during a plague year. The incumbent party was caught off guard by a well-organized and well-funded effort among Democratic lawyers and NGOs to overhaul voting procedures in key states. Rosen concluded, "The changes to voting laws that happened across the country in 2020 were not simply fear-driven or well-meaning responses to a global pandemic. Rather, COVID and the resulting panic became an opportunity for partisan activists and lawyers to rapidly accelerate changes to American voting practices that were already high up on their agendas." But Democratic operatives were not content with their victory in 2020. They launched an operation to censor, smear, and destroy any actors who pushed back against their newly adopted political strategy. No political actor has been more influential in that effort than Mark Elias. Elias, the nation's most prominent election attorney, led the crusade to overturn the Wisconsin Supreme Court's 2022 ruling in Teigen v. Wisconsin Elections Commission, which banned the use of drop boxes in the state. In deciding whether to hear the case, Republican Justice Rebecca Bradley called the Elias-led litigation a shameless effort to readjust the balance of political power in Wisconsin. Elias was successful, and Wisconsin was required to adopt drop boxes despite the state's concerns. Similarly, Elias led lawsuits to defend drop boxes in Pennsylvania leading up to the 2024 election. Elias then worked to personally destroy the careers of his opponents. Along with Project 65, a nonprofit affiliated with the Democrat Party, Elias has called for the disbarment of attorneys who challenge him in court. "I don't think any lawyer should have a bar license for the privilege of destroying our country's democratic traditions," Elias insists, though democratic traditions apparently mean months of absentee voting without signature verification or photo identification. He demanded an accountability structure for those who challenge the Democrats' mandated standards for a free and fair election, in a call for Soviet-style reforms where elections are free provided you don't criticize the incumbent. The liberalization of voting laws was integral to the pandemic response. This process was justified based on non-scientific grounds while invoking the cover of science. Then, the regime dedicated itself to destroying anyone who opposed its election manipulation. The disease did not cause the dramatic upheaval of the American system of voting. It was the fear of the result that shocked the country 4 years earlier.